These are people that are brainwashed. These are people that are being fooled or bamboozled or scammed.
That behavior is a bridge too far.
The new hustle, right? They used to sell steaks. Now they're selling meme coins.
You don't need their permission to receive Bitcoin, to hold Bitcoin, and to watch your standard of living get better over time.
It being so easy, like never before, to take people's money for nothing.
The government put billions of dollars into a company that's going bankrupt. Like,
there are a lot of people who will say, I was able to quit because of Bitcoin. I was able to do this because of Bitcoin. You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Noster City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Noster is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Noster is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Noster will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Noster City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
I'm feeling a little emotional today.
It's been quite a week.
Without getting too personal, there are new policies of the Trump administration that are throwing our lives and the lives of our friends and family into, like, at minimum, some change.
Nobody likes unexpected change.
Yeah, time will tell what happens. We'll see.
But bring it back to Bitcoin, babe. What does this have to do with the show?
Well, the single thing that solves most of their problems would be Bitcoin.
And a lot of the conversations that come up, it's obvious that Bitcoin can help them at least buy some time to figure it out.
Yeah, and secure their future. It's hard to watch so many people I know missing out on the security that we're feeling right now. And there's this divisiveness that I see amongst Bitcoiners, especially fighting over Trump stuff. There's also this animosity we all sometimes feel when Bitcoin deniers, I feel like that's what we should be calling them, Bitcoin deniers, have financial issues or big problems that Bitcoin could solve. I think this is weakening the movement in multiple ways.
Oh, so this is a Bitcoin advocacy episode.
You know, I guess it is. Okay, but before we get into it, what time is it, babe?
The current time is 881070, and we are approximately 3,241 blocks since our last recording.
And if I gave you one U.S. dollar, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island today?
We are sub 1,000, so you can get 999 acres, a.k.a. Satoshis, on sunny Bitcoin Island.
So we are still in that space where we can do that mental math of $1 is 1,000 sats, roughly.
For now.
For now, right? Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, dollar used to get you 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets you 1,000. Next up on the chopping block, 100.
Land on Bitcoin Island getting real pricey.
It's only just begun.
All right. So lots has happened in Bitcoin news since Trump took office. Actually, I would say like right before as well, but since we've last recorded.
I guess some people might take it all as big news. Shall we recap?
Yeah, just quickly. Just because, you know, I feel like there were some historic things that happened that's worth mentioning on our Bitcoin podcast.
Yeah, so many things happen and you forget.
Yeah, so what are the big ones? I feel like, you know, not going in chronological order, one of the biggest things is that Russ Albrecht was freed.
Yeah, that was a highly contentious one because he didn't do it on day one.
Yeah, people were really upset.
Yeah, people want to be upset.
I know. So let's not worry too much about the details around that, but let's briefly talk about what that means. So Russ Albrecht created the Silk Road. He was given multiple life sentences.
Basically.
Yeah. And there has been a years-long movement led by his mother to free him. And it was something that Trump in his first administration did not do. It was a campaign promise when he ran again. And he fulfilled that promise. And so he was not just freed, meaning his sentence was commuted. He was pardoned. And so that helps with setting hopefully some legal precedent in the future on other Bitcoin devs, right? That's the real big reason that everyone's so happy.
I guess, like, we don't really know what this means. All we know is that technically he's not a felon. And so because of that, there are certain things he will be able to do in his life versus if his sentence was just commuted. So that's a big deal, assuming, you know, he wants to get into Bitcoin, perhaps.
Right. And he had Bitcoin and it was all seized. So he's starting
It was
fresh.
Stolen. Yeah. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. It was stolen. It was legitimately stolen by some of the people that were investigating Silk Road. But in addition to that, the seizure of his Bitcoin was theft. So he doesn't seem to be getting it back. So even if you get pardoned, you don't get your stuff back.
So yes, let's talk about the seizing of digital assets like Bitcoin. The executive order that the Trump administration put out last week was, it's being called the crypto executive order, right? And within that, there is no mention of Bitcoin specifically, but it talks about cryptocurrencies. And in that, it states that the United States is going to establish a reserve with the seized assets. Again, not naming Bitcoin specifically. And I did look it up. They've seized Ethereum before. They've seized other coins.
People be cheating on all the cryptos.
And so, you know, just to tie it in there, I did see different discussions happening on Oster of people saying, well, if they're putting it in there that this is the strategic reserve and how they're going to be stockpiling those things, they can just seize everyone's Bitcoin, right? Like, people are trying to fire the alarm around what things we should be scared about in this executive order. And that seems to be where people are honing in on.
It's the United States government. They don't have a track record of being friendly over the last 100 years. So, yeah, if they get the notion to seize your stuff, they will seize your stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you need it written down on paper, fine. But, like, they're going to do what they want to do.
I think it's interesting because we are in this tricky place where you have a collective of people, a voting bloc, whatever we want to call it, who, you know, of those people who did go and actually vote for Trump because of his campaign promises and him, in a sense, fulfilling those promises with the freeing of Ross and then also putting out these policies. But it gets a little tricky because they're not naming Bitcoin specifically and they are opening the door for more. I guess they're not calling them altcoins anymore. They're called meme coins.
Same thing.
It's the same thing, right? But is there any remote distinction that they're publicly stating to say how this is different from an altcoin?
Altcoin is just a word that's made up. It's not like it's a established thing. I see the strategic digital asset reserve, whatever the heck they're calling it. It's just a way for people to dump on the U.S. government. Now they've been dumping on retail, right? Pump and dump, the dump part. So they've been pumping and dumping on retail, but retail basically for the most part has been wiped out because of the FTX debacle for the most part. And or scared away. And so now they've basically created a place where these people can put their altcoins, meme coins or whatever. Apparently the president and or some small group of people in the executive branch are going to decide what goes into it at any given time. And so that's just ripe for corruption and bribery on who's going to get their coins in. And by definition, who's going to sell a bunch of coins to the United States government. That's what they're setting up. Scammers are going to scam. I don't know what to tell anybody. But we don't have to care about that, right? Like, it would be cool if it was a strategic Bitcoin reserve. That would have been good for Bitcoin, but
good for Bitcoin or also good for the United States.
At this point, anything that's good for Bitcoin is probably good for the United States. It would just be medicine that it needs to take.
Mm-hmm.
The big one in there was Ethereum. I think they put Ethereum as a list of what they're going to possibly put in there. I know, which is not the strategic reserve, but the Trump World Financial Liberty, whatever thing, they listed out what they were going to buy as a bucket of currencies. It's all very, like, unimportantly confusing because if it doesn't say Bitcoin, you may as well just not pay attention. But the Bitcoiners, because they want to always show how bad these people are, they're going to be like, see, they're not doing the thing that they said they were going to do. But it's like, they never were going to do it.
So I think it's so interesting that you're phrasing it that way, because I don't think that it's the Bitcoiners. I think there are people who support the Trump administration or wanted to support the Trump administration because of the campaign promises. And now they are almost in defense mode against anyone who's coming in to say, oh, see, this wasn't for Bitcoin, it was for crypto. See, aha, aha, they're lying. And then there's all of these conversations around, well, is this good for Bitcoin? Is this bad for Bitcoin?
They lie.
Yeah, I know, they're politicians.
Right? Like, everybody was like, we'll see about Ross. Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that he's out. Like, I was like, okay, they don't do pardons until they're walking out the door. Mm-hmm. No one gets pardoned, the dude coming into office.
They pardoned a lot of other people for other stuff, but yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's rare.
It's very rare. And so I think we're at the point now where justice is just at the tip of a pen, and whoever's in charge decides who's guilty or not guilty of whatever crimes. I'm not saying Ross was guilty. I'm just saying that it's come down to the point where the justice system is completely politicized, and depending on who's in power determines if you're guilty or not. It's always been that way, but this was the like most blatant version of that, where like the outgoing president basically says nobody with the last name Biden did anything wrong over the last four or 5 years. And then the guy coming in goes, and nobody that protested you being president is in trouble from the last. So like, it's all political now. And so why have courts? Like, just appeal to whoever is in charge of whatever level of government you need to appeal to. If it's the mayor, appeal to the mayor. If it's the governor, appeal to the governor. If it's the president, appeal to the president. Like, why do we have to pretend like lawyers and judges matter?
Well, I think this is only applicable to the people that are making moves, right? People that are creating these coins or creating marketplaces or whatever that is. But my concern and my heart goes to anyone who's in the crossfires, right? Anyone who is going to fall for these scams. And I think the general attitude of people who are Bitcoiners is, well, if they're falling for those scams, that's on them. If after all of this time they're not figuring that out, that's on them. If they're thinking that this is going to benefit them, all of those things. But it is, I think, really scary that you are going to have such official entities, organizations, financial regulators now being like, these are legitimate things. These are legitimate things that, you know, the corporation side of America can participate in, but also people can participate in. You know, just for me to get on my soapbox a little, it's like, I'm constantly disappointed by Bitcoiners because, you know, everyone has their lane, right? Everyone's like, this is freedom tech, privacy, sovereignty, all of those things are so, so important, right? And it's like, we got to take down the Fed. Those people are the enemies. The banks are the enemies and all of these things, right? But somehow that bleeds into the people who are, and I'll call them Bitcoin deniers, and possibly even crypto enthusiasts or crypto curious people. It's almost like those people are also being lumped in with the Fed. They're part of the problem. Where it's, no, these are victims. These are people that are brainwashed. These are people that are being fooled or bamboozled or scammed now also by the government in a new way. And it's just so upsetting and unfortunate, because I think for a long time the focus was, how does this threaten Bitcoin? This can weaken the position of Bitcoin if you have someone like, you know, an actual scammer who used to sell like stakes, right? Or had a university, right? You said something like, this is the new hustle, right? They used to sell stakes, now they're selling meme coins, right? This is what they do. This isn't a new thing for them, but this idea of it being so easy, like never before, to take people's money for nothing, and this being more and more legitimized, it just sucks. It just sucks while you know that the economy is not doing well and most families are struggling. Most people are trying to figure out what they're going to do. And then here is another threat that is coming in. And my hope is just that we all remain focused and compassionate for all of the people who have not yet onboarded onto Bitcoin. Because we want everyone here. We want everyone to be saved. We want everyone to be freed, even if somehow they are adamant about remaining imprisoned.
Yeah, I mean, we can't control the path anyone takes. If their path has to go through a meme coin, so be it. Like, I don't know what you expect people to do. Like, they call the Bitcoiners mean and like hostile and toxic, but like, this is why. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why. And honestly, like, this is the toxicity is why I have this podcast, because I was listening to those people and I was like, they're not wrong. Why are people like so mad at this guy being like, you're literally running a scam? Like, Fetsky had this debate with this guy, and you know, he's got his own demeanor. I could see how people don't like his demeanor, but what he was saying was like factual. And I just watched the reaction to that, and I was like, well, I definitely don't want to be on the side, or like, I don't want to be associated with the people that are saying like, that was mean, because whether it's mean or not, it's true. And right now, if you believe that buying a Trump meme coin is going to lift you up in any way, like, okay, like, I don't want to stop you from doing that. I need you to witness how it doesn't. I can never explain to you that it won't. You have to experience it. And that's what's about to happen. If you need it to be in something that the government deems official and good, okay. Like, if you got to go through that route, okay. But like, while you're doing all those other things over on Bitcoin Island, we don't need pronouncements from the government. We don't need like explanations. Like, we just do what we do. And if your thing works, good for you. My thing seems to be working. Good for me. If you want to know why my thing works, I'll explain it to you. But most of the time when I try to explain that to people, they just tell me how their thing that they found is so much better. And I go, well, yeah, you know, maybe.
Yeah, those are people that are interested in altcoins.
Yeah, but
that's, or are working on these projects or are really on top of it.
But how is that different from stock? How is that different from buying stock in a company that you don't know anything about?
Mm-hmm.
You just got a hot tip from somebody on YouTube and you push in whatever your life savings is or whatever the number is, and you lose it. How is it different than what Trump's doing or what any of these altcoins mm-hmm. and meme coins were doing? Like, you're just pushing money into something you don't know. At a certain point, there has to be consequences to your actions. So what I believe this like strategic reserve is doing is, as with all things, it's going to be a place where they can use government money to backstop mistakes that these crypto guys are making, so that the people that just got blown out from things like FTX don't get blown out by things like FTX. The government will step in and make everyone whole. And that's how we got in this position in the first place. People need to feel the consequences. They need to lose so that everyone can look and go, I don't want to be a loser. The government invested in what is now Stellantis, and they're about to go bankrupt. The government put billions of dollars into a company that's going bankrupt. Like, they don't invest in things that actually work. So like, if the government says we're putting money into a thing, you should really look at that thing very closely, because they very rarely invest in things that work. I know that they invest in things that work, but very rarely at this type of like...
Just like any VC, they make bad decisions.
But it's like, you know, I'm 42, so I wasn't really mentally aware and alive, but like, the savings and loan crisis happened before the dot-com bubble. Happened before the 08 crash, happened before, like, these things just keep happening. And every step of the way, it's always the government did something that then triggers the collapse. So when people are like, oh, government's going to get into crypto, you can almost be certain that it's going to fail. At some point, it is going to blow up and they're going to print more money so that they can backfill it.
That's interesting. I was thinking that crypto will get a second life. Because of this.
It will, but it will also blow up worse.
A second death.
Because it doesn't actually get to die.
Well, let's talk about CBDCs.
CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency.
Yes, let's talk about those. The executive order explicitly bans them in the United States. It very aggressively goes after them and then, you know, lets meme coins still happen.
While not ideal, I would prefer that. Definitely don't want a CBDC for the sole purpose of the people that in theory would be in charge of that have no association with the sovereign country that is the United States of America, or really any country that would implement a CBDC. They make it sound like they'll even use the same name, right? It's like a digital dollar CBDC. Mm-hmm. They'll use the same words and make you think it's the same thing. But as we've talked about on this podcast, a dollar used to mean 1/20th of an ounce of gold. That's what the word dollar meant. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that anymore, but it's still on all our money, right? So they will just migrate the word dollar onto some new thing, and it doesn't operate inside of the United States. It operates somewhere in this nebulous world of global financial capital, and they're not incentivized in doing what's right for the people that are using that thing called the dollar. They're incentivized in doing what's good for them. And so by strictly banning that, you're at least saying that behavior is a bridge too far. Now, if you want to create meme coins and crypto or whatever, by all means, but you're definitely not calling it a dollar, number one. And number two, if you're going to make it a meme or you're going to like whatever marketing you have to do to get people to use it, like, we're not going to force them to use it. if they want to buy Trump coin or Melania coin or Doge coin, if they want to, by all means, you should be able to. But we're not going to force you to do it. That's what a CBDC would do. A CBDC would say, you have to use this. This is the new legal tender. And that is a bridge too far. And in a way, what the dollar is today versus when it was related to gold, it's the same transition. It's like this paper represents something of value, and then one day it didn't. But we all kept associating that same value. And over time, we realized, well, the value's not there. And that's why we've lost 90-something percent of the value of the dollar since the creation of the current Federal Reserve. If they were to create CBDCs, they would literally be able to manipulate the money supply in a way where losing that 90% that we lost since the creation of the Federal Reserve would basically, in like half a generation, like nobody would understand that happened. Because they'd be resetting the currency. And then they'd say, well, from this point, we've only lost 5%.
So it is major that this executive order bans them.
It's probably the best we could hope for as Bitcoin enthusiasts, right? Like as it relates to Bitcoin, it's the best we can hope for, because at least for the next 4 years, that won't be a conversation that's on the table.
I think this is interesting. So we're saying in this conversation so far, we're saying, there's Bitcoin. They can make that decision to get Bitcoin. There's meme coins. They can make that decision and play around as if they're stocks and, you know, F around and find out. But with CBDCs, it would have been such a confusing option for so many Americans that they would think that it was a legitimate digital dollar, that at least this can protect that group of Americans that through their bank, they could be fooled.
This is all hypothetical because it didn't happen. So we can't say like, see, they did this or they did that. But in the description of what a CBDC is and how it's been explained in other places where it's been instituted, like in Nigeria, that's just the one that keeps popping out in my head, because in Nigeria, they came out with this new currency and nobody in the country used it because they were very aware of what it actually meant. And so then the government tried to do all these things to incentivize people to use it. That didn't work. Then it led to coercion. It was like, well, you have to. That didn't work. And then they just started putting limits on how much cash, which was not the CBDC. They started limiting how much cash you could take out of ATMs. They were literally going down the path of forcing you to use it. And so I'm not saying the Nigerian government is in any way, shape, or form reflective of the United States government, but governments, in, as a whole, they operate on coercion. They don't operate on the goodwill anymore, at least. They don't operate on that. They'll just keep changing the rules until you just give up and say, oh, fine, whatever. What we see here in the States is more from like the taxing perspective. We see the rules changing to where if it's over a certain amount of dollars, it has to be reported. But Bitcoin is like becoming so valuable that eventually like a couple hundred Satoshis will cross that threshold.
This actually brings to mind this other statement that's been kind of thrown around phrase. And I don't know like what the source document or interview is, but this idea of like made in America crypto and this idea of like, if the, what is it? Like the UTXO originates in America, the mining happened in America, then possibly that Bitcoin wouldn't get taxed. Have you heard anything about this?
I've heard people talk about it.
It's theoretical then.
I haven't looked into it. But what I will say is that the cool thing about Bitcoin is that you could actually do that if you wanted to.
Yeah, and I was thinking like, whoa, that's actually really fascinating, because then you add this additional value onto a UTXO to say, well, is this American Bitcoin?
Yeah. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
Yeah, I know.
Because that would be the definition of like the softest of soft forks, right? It's just, okay, we're going to monitor the Coinbase of all of these coins that get given out by the subsidy. And we'll trace every coin back to the Coinbase. And if it wasn't mined by a company that's American or traded, whatever they want to define as American, right? And I'm sure they'll expand it to be north of the Panama Canal once El Salvador boots up their mining operation, right? But like the definition of America aside, that would create a soft fork where only the Bitcoin that was mined in that region is, it'd be like a version of Bcash.
But couldn't you then just consolidate the UTXO in America and then the UTXOs?
That's not how it works.
It's not how it works.
No, every Bitcoin You can trace all Bitcoin back to the day it was issued from the Bitcoin mining.
Interesting stuff.
And I don't like to say all, but most Bitcoin, right? And so because you have that ability, and the way that Bitcoin works is it's inputs and outputs. If you do a consolidation, the inputs are still inputs. It doesn't matter if they were consolidated in the United States, if the inputs for that consolidation came from a Chinese mining pool, for example, right? But we don't want to bifurcate the Bitcoin blockchain. We don't want to bifurcate Bitcoin. Bitcoin is supposed to be fungible or non-fungible, whichever one it is, which means...
Well, we don't, but governments might figure out a way.
What governments want doesn't matter when it comes to Bitcoin. They don't want Bitcoin to exist, and yet it does. So they can come up with whatever rules they want to come up with. This is a thing that they just don't have any control over. As I've said before, they have to shut off the internet and they benefit too much from the internet. So they're not going to shut it off. They have to shut off the power. They benefit too much from the power. So they're not going to shut it off. Bitcoin will continue to exist. They'll make it harder and harder for people to use it. And they'll do all the things that they have in their power to scare people. You don't want to be a criminal. You don't want to be a sex trafficker. You don't want to be a drug smuggler, right? They'll do all the things to make you feel like you're making the right decision as you are getting poorer based on their decisions. But what they want doesn't matter. So they can say Bitcoin mining in the United States is better, whatever. It doesn't matter. If they come up with a rule that says, like, you can't deposit because the banks, they rescinded the Saab 121 or whatever the rule is, so the banks can't hold Bitcoin. They rescinded that. So banks are going to be able to hold Bitcoin. You're going to be able to deposit your Bitcoin into a bank. I don't recommend anyone ever do that. And there will be millions of people who do it. And they're going to be the people that the government snatches the Bitcoin from. But you don't have to do that. So, like, it's the same people that are going to get Trump coin instead of Bitcoin. It's the same people that are going to get Ethereum instead of Bitcoin. It's the same people that are buying the ETF instead of Bitcoin. It's the same people. They don't want to take full responsibility for holding and protecting their own wealth. It used to be harder when you had to do it with guns and gold. But today with Bitcoin and hardware wallets, it's like if you can't protect a USB drive, yeah, maybe you should possibly get rug pulled by the government to teach you the final lesson. I don't know. But I used to be relatively skeptical. But Bitcoin just makes you read all this other stuff where you're just like, no. Like, if Bitcoin doesn't work, I probably would have a safe full of gold at this point. Like, at this point, that's what I would do instead. Because when there's all these quotes and everything like that, but we have totally lost control over how we measure value. And it used to be the government's job to establish weights and measures. Right? Like, that's one of their mandates is how do we measure things we all agree so that no one's cheating anyone? And this one thing that's super important, which is how do we measure value? They've abdicated that responsibility to people who are not elected, who are not representing any country or individual or any territory. They're just representing themselves and their business interests. And they don't seem to be able to, like, fight back. I think a lot of people think Trump is fighting back, and I'm sure he's fighting back in certain ways and in certain places. And this CBDC executive order is a great example of that. But in a way, it's like, that's bad. Trump coin good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so, like, Bitcoin doesn't need their permission. And I think if everyone just really internalized what that means, it's like there's so many things that you need permission to do. And eventually, you will not be able to buy Bitcoin from Strike. Like, eventually, they're going to just turn off all the on-ramps. But right now, once you get your hand on Bitcoin, you don't need their permission. You don't get any permits. You don't fill out any paper. You don't need their permission to receive Bitcoin, to hold Bitcoin, and to watch your standard of living get better over time. They want you to believe that you need their permission. They want you to believe that, oh, you need to follow these rules so I don't tax you in a certain way. It's not the taxes. It's the debasement of your money that's making you poor. The taxes are just like insult to injury. So, like, if people want to do other things, I wholeheartedly support that because that's the only way they're going to learn.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
So you're feeling sad for all the people that are about to get scammed.
Yeah, I feel bad for them, but I also feel like people are still missing out on Bitcoin, right? Like I want to fight for them. I want to get them on board.
Like people we personally know?
Yes. Like, look, I'm obviously I'm excited about where you and I are headed. I believe in NextBlock, and more importantly, you and me as a team and like the protection that we have in place because of Bitcoin.
What can I say except you're welcome?
Yes. Thank you, babe. Thank you for setting it all up. But, you know, there's an opportunity that everyone has with Bitcoin, right? Like if they're in a place where they're unsure about their future or there's a change that's about to happen, Bitcoin gives them that opportunity to reset their lives. I think it does. And like the big one that I think, look, a lot of jobs are being threatened right now in the area where we live. For me, in my mind, I'm like, the no-brainer is you take out your retirement, you just take it out, pay the penalties, whatever age you are, put it in Bitcoin.
I mean, I think that's a valid plan.
Is it a reasonable plan to tell someone who has no Bitcoin? I mean, it's hard for them to understand it, but is it almost the no-brainer right now to say, like, look, if you have a couple hundred thousand dollars in your retirement, even if you only have $100,000 in your retirement, whatever it is.
NBD.
Put it, I know, well, if you're older, a lot of us are older. If you put that into Bitcoin, right, you take it out, you pay the tax penalties, that is your money now. No rules assigned to it. That is your money. It's sitting in Bitcoin. Price goes up and down a little, but that's your money. You can pull from it. You can spend it. You can live off of that for a while. Theoretically, it's still growing, but you can access that money and you can figure out your next move.
The whole idea of a retirement account is that you can't touch it until you're retired. And Bitcoin grows faster than any retirement account, and you can touch it whenever you want to. So it's a better product offering, full stop. And there's theoretically no management fees and all that fun stuff. This is where I kind of oscillate between, do I even want to explain this to people or not? Because hypothetically, we have some friends that work for the federal government and they are thinking about quitting because of the new, you can't work from home anymore.
Or they might just get fired because there's also a massive downsizing that's happening in the entire industry.
Or they get fired. That's also an option. That's a little bit different, because you don't really have a say in what's going on. But let's say you have a say, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a say and you go, okay, to your example, I have $100,000 in my retirement account, which is different than having $100,000 in my bank account. If I were to quit, I can get my hands on, let's call it 75%, 70% of that. So what am I going to do with $70,000? Can I actually live with $70,000? How long can I live with $70,000 without working? And this is where Bitcoin versus the fiat system causes so much cognitive dissonance for people. Because today, people will say things like, oh, that's not a lot of money. So $70,000 isn't a lot of money. $100,000 isn't a lot of money. Like, you'll burn through that way before you get to whatever your retirement age was going to be. But with Bitcoin, there are these massive run-ups that we can't project out. And so when you, if you were to quit your job, and put, you know, let's just call it what it is, like buy one Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. Well, $100,000 doesn't sound like a lot, but one Bitcoin is a lot. There's only 21 million of them. Mm-hmm. So if you have one of 21 million of something, that's a lot different than having 100,000 of an infinite number of something. If you can just see that for what it is, you would start to see that these numbers are not equal. One is just a conversion into the other, but they are not equal. You know, my uncle, he's getting in and he had all this money. And he's talking about like the interest rate that he was buying CDs, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I made what I made in a year in like a day on Bitcoin. I'm like, yes, you might also lose it, but like overall.
But you're still describing someone who's not losing an income and looking for a alternative to that. And so generally, if you're a solo person and you're in this situation, if you have a savings already and you could take your retirement and buy it with Bitcoin, then you could possibly spend your savings confidently knowing that you still have a very strong retirement holding. But it's a little trickier if you don't have that situation and you're just saying, all right, well, pull out your retirement and just live off of your Bitcoin.
Well, if they fire you, you are retired.
Yeah.
Right. If you never get another job, you are retired. If you quit and you never get another job, you are retired. So this mythical number that they've put in front of us, like work until you're 70.
Yeah.
We'll bleep this, but f- that. Like, they've normalized that concept. Like, you will work from 16 to 70. Yeah. And when you're 70, which is now what, 75, I think they've upped the age or whatever.
No, it's not in the 70s. It's in the 60s. I thought it was 67.
Somewhere on this planet, it is in the 70s.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they keep, yeah, yes, they can, they keep changing the rules, right? This is your money with rules on it. So yeah, I think there's also that piece of it to say, hey, you think right now this money is locked up, but it's actually not. You can take it out, pay the penalty, and it's yours forever. And what you do with it and the decision that you decide to make on it, that will be your money. And you won't have to pay any more taxes on it ever, unless you want to convert it back into dollars. But you could also figure out a way to only spend in Bitcoin.
If you're a person that wants to feel a little bit more secure and safe, like, you can put your money into a Bitcoin retirement account.
Yeah.
That's an option. But the more important part is that, you know, we can distill this down into a very simple idea. If you currently prefer to see the United States dollar S in front of the number that you look at every day as your wealth, that S basically represents fear. You are never going to have enough if you operate with that S in front of your number. But if you change that S to a B, yes, it will take you a little bit of time because it is a new thing. I understand that. But by changing that S to a B, and I say this to everybody, you got to make it 4 years. Maybe you might get it less than four if you get in right before the run-up. Like, if you got in March of 2024, like, you didn't have to wait 4 years, right? But if you got in March 2022, you had to wait 4 years, yeah. Right? So it doesn't really, that's a big part of it. But, you know, this is where the education comes in, which is, if you're willing to listen to someone like me explain this to you, you know, everyone's thing is like, I was talking to your aunts at one of your aunts at family night, and she was like, oh yeah, it's going to come back down. I'm like, what if it doesn't?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you know, it's going to come back down. I'm like, we're really going to haggle over 5%, and you've already doubled your money, and you want to haggle over 5% coming. Where do you think it's going down to? 90, 80, 75? Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Let's say it's going down to 75. Where do you think it's going up to? People are still trying to, like, use that dollar in their that symbol in their thinking. Like, it's going to go down in dollar terms. Okay, fine. How many Satoshis do you
have? Yeah, it's not even that.
And how long did you,
like,
have them?
Your stocks keep going up. They
stock
go up and
down.
The stock market's down right now?
Everything's down today.
Well, I meant, like, the price of stocks keeps going up, right? Like, versus 10 years ago, the value of Microsoft, right? And it's not because Microsoft is necessarily worth more. It's just that the dollar keeps getting inflated, and so these stocks are also worth more.
Yeah, but again, that's all, you're all inside of the dollar system. Mm-hmm. So it all looks like it's going up. Yeah. But as we've talked about on this podcast, really only 7 to 10 companies accounted for most of the stock market gain. So unless you're in those 7 to 10 companies, you basically just have a savings account with some extra risk, right? The CEO could develop a Coke habit over the night. And yeah. Now
or
you're
a Pepsi habit. Right? Yeah. Okay. So,
or a Pepsi habit. Yes.
This retirement plan of mine that I'm pushing on all of my friends and family who are worried right now. Do we have any other strategies to recommend to them beyond this one?
You have to reduce your cost of living.
Yeah. That's a big one.
That's the only way that strategy works, unless you have like 10 Bitcoin worth of money in a retirement account. No. Right.
It's so funny too, because I have friends not necessarily directly impacted from this. Like, look, think about this. If you are someone that lives in this area and you have a business yourself, a lot of your customers, you know,
might be losing their jobs
or contracts or things like that. Right. So they're all figuring that out, but
or quitting
all of those things. Right. It's funny. I have a friend recently who is expecting her first child, and she was trying to figure all of that out. And she also just generally, like, can't imagine even working now while she's pregnant. You know, she's just trying to figure out her lifestyle. And I told her, I said, you guys could just go in on Bitcoin and you could figure it out and this and that. Like, you could quit your job. And she was like, I don't know. It's just, we have so many expenses. And they go on lavish trips all the time. And I said, no more vacations. Just no more vacations. Your life would be a vacation every day because you wouldn't be working. And she was like, I don't know. Like, it was just brain glitching. And I was like, you do not need to go on all of these vacations. These are extra expenses that you have just made a part of your regular life really for possibly 2 decades now, because you've lived 2 decades as an adult without children. So you've been able to just throw your money, right? So yeah, I agree that that is an approach that I think is really hard for people to understand. If you want to call it the Bitcoin retirement plan, or getting fired, losing your job, deciding that you want to be a stay-at-home full-time parent, whatever those things are, in those decisions have to be a lifestyle adjustment.
Adjusting your lifestyle is probably harder than understanding Bitcoin. You know, we were just on vacation, air quotes there. We went to visit one of your friends in Florida, and I orange pilled a 9-year-old.
Yeah, you did.
And he had great questions, but like, he didn't have a lifestyle that he was trying to like account for when I was giving him this information. He was like, I'm a kid, I have nothing. How do I get more?
Yeah, he's like, but I like money.
Right. He's like, how do I get more? And I sat him down, or, you know, whatever, we were hanging out, and I basically explained to him, I was like, it's not about getting more, it's about holding on to what you have.
The sweetest thing about this was that we were with them for like 5-6 days. We were just living at my best friend's house, sharing, raising our children together for a few days. And one of the days, her middle son was like, excuse me, can you teach me Bitcoin? And it was like a busy table where we were all eating, and Ian didn't hear. And then again later, he was like, excuse me, could you explain to me what Bitcoin is? And I was like, this is just amazing. We can't get adults to ask us this question, but this kid twice is like, excuse me, I really want to learn and understand what this is. It was so, it was just such a special moment. I played it cool though, because, you know, you don't want to look desperate in front of kids, especially 9-year-olds. You got to play it cool. You got to make them want it, right?
He's a super curious kid, you know, and I think he saw us doing some Bitcoin stuff with his parents, and or, you know, we've been just talking about it more in front of them. And so he just kind of asked the question to his parents. And, you know, his dad was like, you should talk to Ian, or what did he call me?
Mr. Bitcoin.
No, he called me something else. What did he call me?
Oh, he called you Other Dad.
Yeah, he called me Other Dad. That was funny.
It was very sweet.
He was like, Other Dad.
It was literally like two sets of parents in a house, two sets of kids. They have a big house. They don't live in the city like we do. So it was a lot of fun.
But yeah, like in talking to him, you know, I just found myself saying over and over and over again, like, you're asking great questions, right? Because he has no frame of reference. Whereas when we're talking to adults, especially in their 40s, like, they think they're smart. They think they've made it. They think they've done all the right things. And on paper, they technically have done all the right things. And what we're coming to them usually saying is like, you haven't done all the right things. And they're like, but I'm successful. You're like, but are you?
I don't think it's you haven't done all the right things. I think it's there's new information that you don't know yet that changes everything.
That is another way to put it. But if they've already set up a machine that they think is going to make them successful, and you're telling them you either A, need to not do that, or B, there's this other thing that's like way easier, it just doesn't sound truthful.
Yeah. And the other side of it, I think also is just, I think Ian and I's personality, we're like very chill, calm people. We're very strategic about our lives so that we don't have incredibly stressful lives. And so when we go to talk to other people about this, it's also like, I don't know, I know that stuff works out for you guys, but like, I need to diversify. I'm not that risky. I'm not this, or that works for you, but I don't think that could ever work for us. And you know, this is conversations that we're always having, but I do think it's going to be really fascinating this year alone, with the United States president not hating Bitcoin, not attacking Bitcoin. Like, what's going to happen to Americans, right? It's Bitcoin positive, but also crypto positive. And how much is that going to confuse people? You're talking about a frame of reference, right? Their frame of reference now includes the reality of the headlines that are coming their way, rather than possibly, you know, the direct, honest information that people like us try to provide. It's going to be a really interesting year, but my thought has been really the past week or so is that Bitcoin could really save everyone. I believe Bitcoin could save Americans. I don't know if it can save America. I don't know what a strategic reserve, however they set it up, could actually help the country. Time will tell for that. But we know Americans that have been helped by Bitcoin. We are Americans that have been helped by Bitcoin. And we hope that there are more Americans that can be helped by Bitcoin. Of course, globally, we want it to help everyone, but my heart aches for Americans a lot lately.
I mean, I guess the more important part to me is like, Bitcoin is not for America or for Americans or for anybody. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And if you're having the problems that Americans are currently having, Bitcoin is a pretty strong solution for you. But there are tons of people in the world that have already experienced this. They've already experienced 100% inflation. Turkey, Argentina, Brazil. Like, it's happened numerous times. Americans are just really getting it for like the second time in 50 years. So, like, as always, you know, the famous quote, like, you can always count on the Americans to try every other option before they do the right thing. Like, we're going to try everything. We'll try Trump coin. We'll try Ethereum. We'll try all these things. And then finally be like, all right. What's this Bitcoin thing? But when it comes to like the strategic Bitcoin reserve, one thing I do want to say about this to really put this in perspective, because this is one of the things I was explaining to the 9-year-old. I said to him, I was like, do you know about the strategic petroleum reserve? And he was like, no, what's that? And so I explained to him, you know, like, we had this deal, we have this deal. I don't even know if we're refilling it at this point, but we had this deal where we buy oil and then we kind of hold on to it. And when the gas prices get too high, we would sell the oil to kind of bring the prices back down for Americans. And he was like, oh, that's really smart. I was like, yeah. So like, what do you say to someone who like sold the oil when gas wasn't expensive? He was like, why would they do that? And I was like, that's a great question. And that's what we just did. And so, you know, he was like, why would they do that? And I said to him, I don't know why they did it. I'm just telling you that they did it. When it comes to Bitcoin, all the Bitcoiners that are for this thing are really saying is, instead of buying the oil from countries that you have to move all this oil around or whatever, just buy Bitcoin instead. And he was like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And then like when the price of Bitcoin gets high, you can just sell some of it, like the oil. I'm like, yeah, you could do that if we had some bills to pay. Right. He was like, yeah, why don't they do that? And I was like, well, we're about to find out. Like, we're about to find out if they're going to do that or not. But like, this 9-year-old asked way better questions than almost any adult I've ever orange pilled ever. And so shout out to him. Hopefully, like, obviously if this podcast goes for multiple years, I'll be able to replay this for him, but be like, you got it when you were 9. On our first conversation. And that just really opened my eyes to like, it really is, adults are just working with so much things that they have to unlearn that I almost don't even want to talk to adults after that conversation. Just give me your kids and let me orange pill your kids, and then at least your kids will be okay.
Ian pulling up in a white pant.
Orange Ian, van.
Ian pulling up in a white van, passing out little orange pills.
Nah, I'm going to jail for that. They would definitely put me in jail for that.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M-Pub, and just start with that.
All right, Ian, it's time for Satoshi for your thoughts. Do you think that we could be missing the point if we don't keep trying to save people from our broken financial systems?
You know, I saw a video the other day. That's a great question. And it wasn't about anything about me, but it was this guy. He was talking about, you know, around 2015, 16, I started looking into like better managing my money. And he's like, I came across all this material and content, and I ended up buying a bunch of gold. You know, he was kind of lamenting on the fact that if I just bought Bitcoin, like, you know, whatever. But as always, you know, he's obviously a Bitcoiner today. And so it's like, that was his path, right? Like, he had to go through gold to get to Bitcoin. Some people have to go through Ethereum or whatever to get to Bitcoin. I think that our job now is just to not fail, right? Like, we're talking about living this lifestyle, low key, chill, whatever. We don't go on a bunch of trips and all this fun stuff. We're like, we're living a certain lifestyle. If Ian doesn't work now, people are already curious, like, how does that work? If they never see Ian get a job again, oh, okay, how did that work? If Manda then doesn't work, how does that work? Like, keeping people aware of the fact that like there is an alternative. If we just live that lifestyle, I think that is how we accomplish that task. I think that just living that lifestyle is how we accomplish that task of like saving everybody, because we're at least offering them an alternative that they see on a regular basis. And it can possibly counter the narratives. It can possibly counter some of the things that they're getting in whatever the information sources are. The story with that gold is like, you have to start looking into it for yourself. If you just start looking, you will eventually find out about Bitcoin. You might not start at Bitcoin, which is what we're trying to get a lot of people to do, is like start at the finish point, because that's where you're going to end up. But whatever their curiosity is, if they got to go research wampum and research, you know, ancient Roman salt payments or whatever makes them curious to start looking into money and how it works, we know that they will eventually end up in this place called Bitcoin because it is the newest version of money. It is, as far as we know, the best version of money. I'm sure there will be better versions in the future when I'm not around. But for my window of time being on this planet, it's the best option. And none of us alive today have ever lived in a world where gold is the dominant currency. Nobody alive today should be saying things like going back to gold. You don't even know what that was. Maybe some people in Iran know what that was, right? But for the most part, no one here has been passing around gold coins for a while.
We have a gold coin though.
We do. And it's in plastic.
A lovely wedding gift.
Yeah, it's in plastic. It's a gift. It's a trinket. It's not money. It's money in like a very extreme scenario, but it's not money. And so as long as people are curious, they, I think, will get there. And I think the way that we keep them curious is that we live a lifestyle where we're not failing. They see us, the people that know us. I can't help everyone, but the people that are in my sphere, they constantly know about Ian and Mandana. They constantly know about things like, oh, you guys buy a whole cow. That's weird. Okay, but you don't hear us complaining about the price of beef.
Yeah, I do think that you're right. I think for people to see how we live, to see how we are navigating the changes that are happening in Washington, D.C. right now. And ultimately, we can at least offer options to them to explain, well, this is our strategy. This is what we're thinking. This is what we did when Ian wanted to quit his job. I mean, it was a self-imposed unemployment, but it really wasn't an option for us at that point. Ian was incredibly unhappy at his job. And we had things that we wanted to do that we just could not because Ian's time was being taken up by that job. You know, the ideas.
Nonsense.
Yeah, the ideas that we had around the attention marketplace. I mean, we would have never been able to, I think, get to the speed that we did in setting up Next Block, being able to go to Amsterdam and El Salvador. That would have been impossible. And now just the build out and, you know, Next Block billboard coming May 1st. You know, we're working on all of those things. It is because Ian is not working. I'm still working. I still work full time. I have a very, very busy job, a very demanding job. And so I think that it's just being able to live this is really exciting. And then, you know, we do what we can with this podcast. But Next Block is also supposed to jumpstart Bitcoin adoption for the masses. That's the whole point, right? So I know that you and I are doing our part, but it still sometimes doesn't feel enough. And really just lately, it's just upsetting to know that there's so many people trying to figure their finances out and their plans for the future out. They're not grasping at something that could truly change their lives for the better.
I think anybody who takes any action is on the whole moving in the right direction. You take action, whether it's right or wrong, you're at least taking action. You're not just being like a bystander.
You're not being passive. You're not letting other people make decisions for your life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so like in our example, like me quitting was a non-passive thing. Mm-hmm. It was like, yes, we could quote unquote use more money, but my time is worth more than you're paying me on a long timeline.
Even your happiness, your freedom. Like I feel like the freedom aspect is really important because how much our time is controlled by our employers and how that impacts your availability to your family, your availability to yourself, the brain power that you have. I mean, it's a big deal. And I think there are a lot of people who will say, I was able to quit because of Bitcoin. I was able to do this because of Bitcoin. And I do believe that more people will be able to say that in the future. It just seems like there's forced change that's happening right now. And like, here's hoping that people figure it out. Here's hoping that the off-ramp that they take away from other people really being able to control their life takes them straight to Bitcoin and not not these other things. All right, well, babe, thanks for the little therapy session. I appreciate it. I appreciate you, and I appreciate Bitcoin.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub and just start with that.